I want to thank the Lord for Pilgrim Camp and his faithfulness. And I want to thank all of the counselors that took such good care of our children. And I want to especially point out Brother Vince. My oldest son, Danny, was the first one who came as a camper. He came up for 2 weeks, and my wife and I came to pick him up. And I was kind of kidding with him. I said, "Dan, you ready to go home? Where do you want to stay?" He better smile. He says, "Dad, can I stay?" Well, I'll check in the office and find out. That time you could. And he got his start down in the cottage when Brother Vince was there. I know yesterday when our Brother Prowl was talking about it, he couldn't get out of here quick enough. But now this is the other side of the coin. Today, I don't know if his name is in that book or not, but I know David's name is, and I think my daughter. But the impact that camp has had on their lives, it's still going with them. They all love the Lord, they're serving the Lord, and I just want to give thanks to everyone who had a part in that, and of course the Lord gets all the glory for it, and I thank him.
Amen.
Oh yeah, one other thing. I don't know if this council is still here or not. At another story, David, you probably remember, they had back in them days, they had overnight trips out to Farrah Lake. Well, that stopped when my son went out there. David, he was kind of a, you know, one of those guys that you had to tie a rope to, otherwise you go. But he got lost. And he was out on the other side of the lake, and he wore glasses, and somehow he lost his glasses, and he found a boat, and he grabbed the boat, and he says, "Well, they must be on the other side of the lake." And he got in the boat and he started to go across the lake, and the boat had a hole in it. But the counselors, I'm sure they went to prayer, and they sent out a search party for him, and they got him back safely. And I don't know if that counselor is here or not, but I want to give him thanks.
Why do you strike us up?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I just have an addendum. and I'm probably not supposed to do this because Brother Paul said that our testimonies are not supposed to encourage our young people to do something they're not supposed to do, right? So just keep that in mind. That comes from the director, all right? But I actually was a camper with David, and we actually had gotten in trouble the night before. So the next day when he got lost at Farrah Lake, he just was really in hot water. And when he came back, he actually made his way back, but he came back with this story that he just told, and the counselors were so mad because he was missing. But when he came back and he started telling this story, it just got funnier and funnier and funnier. You know, he could not have made it up. That's exactly what he said, what his father said. You know, it's just amazing. But I had very good memories. Brother Kenny was our counselor. And Brother John and Pelizzeri, your son. And we were a little bit naughty that year. But anyway. Brother Marty, come.
Well, I'm not going to tell any stories like that. All I know is Brother Gordon used to go around with his flashlight.
Yes.
Carl, I see you. Martin, I see you. You know, he was great. I was a resident camper here. So, I don't know if I fall into the category of being an official camper, but I have a few names that I'd like to read off, and I'd like to have a waiver of a personal waiver that in case I miss somebody, that you know, I didn't miss them intentionally. And some of the names that have come across my life: Arthur Waldfogle, Charles Hufflander, Pastor Bob Bowers, Brother Gordon Gardner, Sister Caroline, Brother and Sister Carl Sailor, Tante Greeley, Uncle Hans, Edwin Waldfogel, the Johann, the Josenhans family, the Bacher family, the Shelley family, the Koches, Pearl Lindau, Rosie the cook. Anybody remember Rosie
yes.
the cook?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Mr. and Mrs. Eineman, the Sommer family, the Munsinger family, the Beaver family, brother and sister Lyon, the Smith family, and the Litchko family, and the Wall family. These are all families and many, many others who have had an influence in my life. And as I was thinking about camp before we came up, the thought came to me, and it was mentioned the very first night we were here, about a cloud of witnesses. And the second meeting was the same way. And I thought, wow, at first when I was thinking about that at home, I said, wow, it's kind of, you know, it's basically a cloud of witnesses. And I was thinking, what cloud of witnesses are there? And I was thinking of all these names that went before me. And I said, well, I really have no excuse for not following the Lord. They all served the Lord, and they went before me. So I said to myself, well, that sounds like maybe that's what's going to be at camp this year. And sure enough, the thought was brought out again about the cloud of witnesses in the service, and I forget which brother, I don't know if it was Brother Ernie, pointed out. It's not so much that they're watching us, but that we can watch them and remember them and how important that is. And then I had this crazy thought, you know, about the technology we have today, recent times, the new empowerment of the cloud, right? Cloud, you can put anything in the cloud, it's safe. You can read, you can take it back, look at it, put it back again. Wow, and I thought to myself, well, God had it. Had a cloud way before that, back in Hebrews, we read about the cloud of witnesses. And here we thought we invented something new, you know, where we could just put the data in and retract it and read it. And God has provided a cloud of witnesses for us that we can relate to anytime we want. We don't have to worry about a virus, you know, or spam, or something like that. But we can readily avail ourselves of those witnesses that went on before us. Grab onto the teachings that we received here at camp and in other places. But camp is a very special place for me because beginning in the time frame of 1949, I came to the United States, actually 48, but 49, and it was just so happened that the original Pentecostal Church did many good things for us and the people therein. And we, the sailors who were the caretakers here, took our whole family and six of us kids, and we came up and stayed over in the office here. Tante Greeley took care of us. She was the nurse, and she's the one who brought me to the Lord. And it wasn't camp season, but it was in camp, and so we had a good time, you know, until. We had to stay here all cramped up. It was fun. But until they finished the house where Brother Tom lives now. And Brother Arthur Waldfogel came up and to help Brother Carl finish that house. You know, frame it out and finish up the upstairs. And that's where we lived then for the next few years until I almost graduated from high school. But The meetings at camp were always a blessing to me. And I was a camper, and then after a while I became a worker on the staff. And I enjoyed every bit of it. Sometimes it was a little bit hazardous, you know, not as hazardous as physical hazardous, but time-wise, you know, you had to rush here, there, get everything done, and so on. But the meetings were never like shortened. They're always there, available for you to seek the Lord whenever you want them. Right over there, where that group of young people are sitting there, that's where I used to sit. And seeking the Lord after the meetings, on your knees, and just trusting the Lord to fill me with His Spirit and to give me that that impetus to serve him. And so some of the people that helped me along in that area was Brother Gordon, Sister Caroline. And as I was growing up, and I don't know how many of you teenagers do this, but I thought I was kind of weird. When people would be speaking in tongues, I would always look. I would take the time, say how long they're speaking, then I would listen to the interpretation, take the time. So, I don't know if that was exactly right. You know, how to do that, you know? Well, I was testing the spirits, was that it? And then the thing that impressed me is Sister Caroline, she would train that organ on the piano. She'd get up and see how close the guys are sitting over there. She would dance between the line, between the aisles, worshiping the Lord in the spirit. And she, I was watching her, you know, I was like, you know, I was an observer. And she would have her eyes closed, she wouldn't hit anybody. She had her eyes closed and she was dancing in the spirit between the roses. And I thought, wow, it must be real. And so at that, you know, she was a real encouragement to me. Brother Gordon, he was a great teacher. And whenever I shared with somebody that whenever I hear a song at home in the church, or think of it myself, or hear it in the radio, I always, those songs that we sang here, I can just hear Brother Gordon's voice. It was just as clear as could be, as if he was here. I could hear his voice leading out in that song. And you know, it's a blessing that we have cloud of witnesses like that have gone before us, that we can relate to the grace of God, to his faithfulness to us. And one day when I was like, I don't know how old I was, I probably was in my 40s, I was sitting over here, this young lady sitting right there. Yeah. And I was praying, you know, worshiping God. It was after the service. And Brother Gordon comes over and he gives me a word of the Lord. He said, "Give me your heart." I thought, wow. I was saved, you know, I was serving the Lord. I was filled with the Spirit. I was involved in the church. I always was involved in the church. That's one thing I learned here. Young people, don't ever forget, get involved in the church. You know, you learn it here, get involved in the church. You're not going to forget the Lord when you do things like that. But anyway, I thought, well, it's kind of funny. He said, you know, give me your heart. Lord, you know, the Lord speaking to me. Lord, give me your heart. And I thought about that later on, how important it is. It's not so much important how much intellect you have about the Word of God or how involved you are physically and emotionally in the Word of, in service for God. But God wants my heart. He wants me. Altogether me. Above all else, just me. It's wonderful when we get to learn that, to know that I belong to Jesus. He set me free. And I just enjoy the presence of God here. I think for myself, you know, maybe I'm prejudiced in that respect, but I think when we sing songs from the worship of God, the songs always seem to be best right here. You know, no matter what songs we sing at home in church or elsewhere, when we're here worshiping the Lord together, we sing those songs, it seems to me that they're the best here. And how much we could take advantage of that, that God would just change us as we worship Him, that the songs have meaning to Him. And so I'm very thankful for that. And Brother Carl, that's what we call them, Dad, we call Sister Carl Mom, because that's what they were. They were taking care of us. They brought us up here. And I always observed what he did. You know, that man, he loved the Lord. And everything he did, he would ask God to help him. I would see his face. Some things would, you know, we'd make mistakes. I'd be working with him, you know. And we'd try to do stuff and fix things and so on. But you know, every problem that came up, we would always trust the Lord. Every job that he did and we took on, he trusted the Lord. Ask for God for forgiving wisdom. And I took that on. It just came into me. And that's part of me, you know. And then later on, many years back, later on when I became a father, my son David, he said he met Brother Carl. And he says, he only met him for a short time. And later on he says to me, Dad, now I know why you are like him. It was so funny, you know, that your kids recognize who you are, you know, and where you got it from. And it's a blessing that camp was like that. And that God would provide for me, for, I don't know if my brother John said anything about us for this time, but there's my brother John right there. See him sitting in the chair. Anyway, you know, there were six of us, and God provided for us. People ask me, well, how did it happen that you came from Europe, you came to the States, and you did all this? I said, that was the miracle of God. That was His miracle. We had Christian parents, and God answered their prayer. And God didn't do that. He answered the prayer through other God's people. And how we should remember that, all of us, and the young people, you're going to college and getting out of school, remember that. God answers your prayers through other people as they are faithful in praying for you and in serving God. God will answer your prayers. God will be with you. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you. And He will not let you go. And so, I just want to close with that. I don't want to be too long because my wife says I speak too much. However, I want to say one more thing. I'm thankful for the young pastors who we've seen this weekend and other times. Sometimes, I think perhaps we as counselors had some influence on them. I don't know. But at the time, we didn't think we did, you know. I was in a hopeful counselor, and they used to call us hopeless. But we did a good thing, you know. We always got a lot of awards. We did all right. And, it's good serving the Lord, wherever position you are in camp, if you are on the grounds or if you're in the kitchen. But I want to just mention this one thing. My wife, Joyce, she came to camp in 1947. Second year the camp was open. And she came from a good Catholic family. I mean a good Catholic family. Good Catholic family. And her mom used to send her to camp because she knew Mrs. Einemann. See how it goes? When we know the Lord and we share one with another, like John was just saying, I think, and Paul, how word spreads word of mouth. And so she came to camp, right, to a Pentecostal camp, started out in the cottage. And she was in the cottage, I guess, with some of perhaps people who are here today. I don't know. Who was in camp in 47? In the cottage. Anybody? No? Paul, were you there? No. But so that's how far back she goes. But eventually, I got a little sweet on her, you know, later on in my teens. And I used to see her playing horseshoes at the palace there, because that's where they stayed. And she'd be tossing the horseshoes. Now I'd be working on the ground, so I'd walk by and see her. And the Lord just spoke to me. I don't know if it was the Lord or not. Was me. I said, that's going to be my wife. And I left it at that. And sure enough, she became my wife many years later. So it was kind of funny. But how the Lord works, you know. Even in camp, you can find your wife, you know. You never know what you find here when you come. You'll find the Lord, you might find a good friend, you might find a spouse. But, you know, it's all in the providence of God as you come together and worship Him. So I'll just close and say that. I just want to mention this one man. I don't think we've heard about him this all weekend. I'm not sure. Brother Bowers. You know, he was my counselor in the hopefuls. A man of God who led us to the Lord, and we had our Sunday school meeting every Sunday afternoon. And I would say that song number 90 probably encompasses my whole life in respect to camp.
In the book 90?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand as we sing Living for Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we give ourselves afresh to you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, have your way, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Someone else like to testify? Come, Brother Nelson.
The counter to our brother here who just spoke, in all transparency, the first time I came to Pilgrim Camp, I was not seeking Jesus. I was seeking Elaine. I found her in the kitchen. And Pilgrim Camp delivered, and I have come back again. And thank the Lord for Pilgrim Camp.
Amen. Someone else. Brother Joe, come. Say something.
I thought to myself, I ain't going to say nothing unless he calls me. And I didn't ever thought in the world that he would call me. Pretty hard for me to speak, but I was not a camper. I was part of the group that went to Lake George.
You want to come up here, brother?
Come, my goodness, no.
Come, brother Joe. I mean, if you're at Lake Georgia, that's really special.
I'm not made for this, let me tell you. But the Lord has blessed me more than I deserve. First of all, I was born into a family that loved the Lord, and it was a functional Christian family. I'm going to make this quick. All right, I had four sisters who were wonderful. I had a mother and father who knew the Lord and lived a life in front of me. And I was born in Brooklyn, and I was a tough kid. But one thing I'll never forget is... when I was in kindergarten, I stole a little car and brought it home. And my father saw it, and he knew it was not mine because my car didn't have wheels on it. We were poor. So he says, you know, you got to bring that back. Oh, I said, I know that. I'll bring it back. And I guess for a week or two, I never brought it back. And he says to me, come on, come with me. And he took me down the basement. And I thought he was going to give me a good licking. And he put his arms around me, and he made me ask forgiveness. And from then on, I knew that when you do something wrong, you're convicted. The Lord convicts you. And I'm very strong on conviction when you do something wrong, and I want to make things right. My father knew Carl Sailor Sr. from Germany, and he sponsored him to come to the States, and Carl lived with us for a few years before he got married. And so my father knew him well, and when I was in public school, when I finished school, I would go up to his shop, and I would sweep the floor, and he had a lumber yard and a carpenter shop, and I got to know him. And when he decided to sell his business and come to camp, he says to me, Joe, why don't you come to camp with me? He says, and spend the summer with me. I was 16. So I thought that was a good idea, and it was. And I spent that summer up here. And I'll tell you, it really helped me trust the Lord, and it was good for me instead of being in Brooklyn, all right? June of 1947 was the second year of camp, right? Right?
Yes.
I got my driver's license in June, and his family moved up here in July. I drove Mrs. Sailor up, Collie, Eddie, little Trudy was 3 months old, and Mrs. Kreutzer. And I worked all that summer, all right? Now, that I was 17, okay? I was never a camper, okay? I had been a camper at Lake George, but what happened there was when I gave my heart to the Lord. The first, I was there in 42, 43, 44, let's see, 45, we went to Camp of the Woods, and 46 was camp, right? So in 42, I went to Lake George. We had three cabins there. One of them was up on the end, Trail's End. Another one was Anawana. And then there was another one, Winnie Winkle, right? And I lived in Winnie Winkle. That was the one down here. Well, breakfast was good, but I'll tell you, we had worship. I thought my mother sent me to a monastery, let me tell you. We had songs, and we had this. And I said, what in the world? I got my bathing suit on, and they're praying here, you know? So I'll tell you what I did. When all their eyes were closed, I left. And I went down to Winnie Winkle, all right? And I figured, they got a pass here. I'll hear the noise, and I'll just join the crowd and go down to the beach. But what happened, all of a sudden, I felt like 2 cents. And I says, Lord, what in the world? I started to cry. I got by that bed, and I gave my heart to the Lord. So when they came down, Gordon says, where did you go? I said, I was going to say, none of your business. But I had to tell them what happened. And I'll tell you, I was so free and loose that I knew I gave my heart to the Lord. So the following year, let's see now, let me count right, 47, I came here. And when the kids came, I was 17, right? The bus would stop right here, and I think the girls came first and then the boys, wasn't it? The boys came first? Okay. I worked on staff with Carl. We did the cesspools outside, and this was a county road. This was not our road. And when the car came, we had to yell, car, car, so the kids went to the side of the road. And I saw a girl get off the bus, and I thought she was nice. And to make a long story short, wound up as my wife, all right? And what was so nice is I have 4 daughters. They all worked in camp. They all served the Lord here. And they all married Christians, which they met here. One, John, was mentioned before in Pelizzeri, was here for years as a counselor. Willie Seitz, and my other 2 daughters also. So I tell you, I've been blessed more than I deserve. And I tell you, I sat there and I said, I ain't getting up. I said, that's hard. I said, he ain't gonna call me. And I tell you, I never said nothing to you, am I right? So I hope I didn't annoy you, but I had to tell you the way I felt. I thank the Lord for all his blessings. I'll tell you something else. I was drafted during the Korean War, and I was in San Diego, ready to go to Korea, and my outfit was a combat outfit. my name never came up. I was in an armored division, and I wound up, after going in San Diego, everybody's going over to Korea, I wind up in Germany. Figure that one out. And my outfit got hurt very bad, and I was stationed about 20 miles from my relatives and about 30 miles from Kirchheim. So I spent that year that Bobby was over there writing you cards. Yeah. I was with him over in Kirchheim. So the Lord blessed me more than I deserve. And okay, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go down here. Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I guess we'd all have to say that, right? We've been blessed much more than we deserve. And that's the wonder of grace, the grace of God. Now, Brother John, you have a song for us. Yes, yes. You didn't think I was going to call on you either, right?
There's a saying that goes, no man is an island, which means, I believe, that no man attains anything entirely on his own, but owes it to other people. If I attained anything intellectually, I owe it to my fifth grade school teacher, whom I, to this day, dearly love. As far as my spiritual well-being, I owe it, I think, to a man called Alfred Walpole. Alfred was a man who epitomized what a Christian should be like. He was loving and kind and was concerned. Intellectually, I don't think he was a rocket scientist. But there are more important things than being a rocket scientist. There's such a thing as being the epitome of what a Christian should be like. I recall on the day I got saved, I was with Alfred and others at the hospital where we sang, even though I wasn't a Christian. I was 15. And Alfred was going back to his army base. He was in the army. And he said to me, you're going to church tonight, right? I said, sure. What a liar. I had no intention of going to church. So I was heading home. And I get to Avenue L, just about Avenue L, and suddenly my conscience kicks in and says to me, it's okay to lie, but you never lie to somebody like Alfred. He's just too good a guy. So I said, okay, I'm going to get off the trolley, and I walked to Avenue L and went to church. And it was that night that the Lord came to me as I was kneeling by my chair, even though I wasn't a Christian, and the Lord convicted me, and I gave my heart to the Lord that night. I was 15 years of age. So it was because I was privileged to know a good man called Alfred.
I was one of those from 1946. I was 12 years old. And my family, my older sisters went to Ridgewood Pentecostal Church, but I went to the East Side. And so I came with the East Side. We were about six girls, and they put us all the way down the cottage because we were the East Side kids. It was a mission. And with us was one young girl from Williamsburg. I don't know if the name is familiar. Maybe the old time is Pompilonia. Lucy Pompilonia was with us. She was a young girl. I was 12. She was about 15. Very quiet girl, very reserved, but she enjoyed being with the lively Eastsiders. And we got very close with this young girl because she really had no other friends. She was all alone from Williamsburg. And so we had quite a good relationship with that week. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, another one of the girls and I said, we were only 12, let's take the train. We lived in Brooklyn and go see Lucy Pompilonia. And at 12 years old, we took the train. We went to Williamsburg and we went to see her. And there we saw this frail little girl lying in bed. And she didn't talk very much, and so we sat by her bed and we sang with her. And I, at that time, I thought I had given my heart to Jesus. I thought I really was serving the. I wanted to serve the Lord, and I wasn't that excited over it. But because my family, you know, you had to kind of be part of the family. We sat by her bed and we sang. And we talked a little bit, talked about camp, and we took the train home. And that night, the Lord took Lucy Pompolonia home to heaven. And when I heard it the next day, that was the turning part in my life. Didn't happen at camp, but it was as a result of Pilgrim Camp. I got so convicted over it, and I thought, well, if that were me, would I be ready for heaven? And I knew I wouldn't be. And that was the time I made a real commitment to the Lord. And I'm so thankful I did, because He's been so faithful. He's been so faithful. And I'm so thankful for all He's done. And my son John is married to Joe's wife, Joe's daughter. And when he came to camp, Jane, when he came to camp, I remember the year he came, he was about 14 years old, and he'd sit in church, and it was just blank. And I used to worry about him, and I thought, oh, he's as cold as can be. He'd sit up there and play his trumpet, and most of the time he'd be fiddling with his trumpet, and he was coming to camp. And you know, the Lord filled him with the Holy Spirit at camp at that time, and he came as a boy that wasn't really interested. But he came back so changed, and it stuck. And I'm so thankful that he served the Lord too here at camp for many years, for many, many years. And I'm thankful for God's faithfulness. I'm thankful for Pilgrim Camp.